So to say that women are like Shudra than Vaishyas, it is so accusative and so discouraging. Well, I would explain this at three levels. First is it that Krishna is actually endorsing that, or is he simply stating that? Because the whole chapter is the chapter of Bhakti Yoga. And in that chapter of Bhakti Yoga, the verse, what is the thrust of the verse? Mami partha vyapashitte ye pisyu papa yona striyo vaishya sada shudra stepi anti paramgati. Even those who are vaishya, shudras, women, the lowborn, they can attain perfection. So the thrust of the verse is not how women are. The thrust of the verse is how potent bhakti is. That however you are, bhakti can elevate you. And elevate you to supreme perfection. So first of all, that is the thrust of the verse. So we could say very well that woman being equated with a particular social grouping, that is not a teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. That is just a statement where Krishna is echoing the current conception of people. So it was considered at that time. But even if somebody is considered low class, still they can be elevated by bhakti. The stress of the verse is the potency of bhakti. The stress of the verse is not that this is the case. And even Krishna also says over there that this is 9.32. So earlier Krishna has said that Sakalene Himhata Yoga Nashtya Parantava. Krishna is telling that by the power of time, that primeval knowledge which I had given is lost. Now that means the culture that Krishna appeared in is not the ideal culture. The culture that the Mahabharata describes is the deviated culture. And that's why Krishna has to come to correct the Dharma Seglani. So therefore, the cultural conceptions that are present at that time, are they necessarily the right conceptions? We don't know which part was right, which part was not right. So one thing I would clearly say, that is not the teaching of the Gita. That is, today morning I gave a class, I talked about everything that is in scripture is not the teaching of scripture. Sometimes scripture may just be describing social cultural reality at that time. And that's one level. Second level would be that even if we consider over there what is going on, it is the whole Bhagavad Gita is talking about transcendence, about attaining spiritual reality. And for gaining spiritual knowledge, attaining spiritual reality, is in the broad human society, there are certain dispositions which are suitable, certain are not suitable. So Brahmanas are more analytical, intellectual, they are best suited for spiritual understanding. Kshatriyas, they also have some amount of sattva which regulates their rajas. They are suited. Vaishyas and Shudras, there are many people who are very, very money-minded. They are not necessarily sinfully materialistic. But you know, for them to think about the other world is very difficult. And it was acknowledged that Vaishyas and Shudras may never be able to take sannyas. They may never be able to take even vanaprastha. Usually Brahmanas take sannyas, Kshatriyas take vanaprastha. So Shudras and Vaishyas don't. So yesterday in the Parbodhani we read that for the Shudras, the only reformatory ceremony is Vivaha. They marry. So now, what does that mean? That means in the Vedic culture is also acknowledged that some people may not be of that spiritual level where they can embrace renunciation or they can embrace the path of very great spiritual elevation. So that is simply a fact of life with respect to people's spiritual receptivity. So similarly with respect to women, generally in the female body, one of the primary functions is to nurture and nourish. And you know, for nourishing new life, the emotionality is very important. Children, when they cry, when they wake up, babies are especially not rational. So if mothers were rational, mothers would not be able to take care of the babies. So for mothers to have that emotional connect with their especially small children, they have to have emotional natures. That's not necessarily a disadvantage. For the purpose of nurturing, that is a need. It's a great strength also. So in general, women are not that philosophical. So if we consider, that means to go towards spiritual growth, one way is through philosophical analysis. We understand the futility of the material world. and then we look for something higher. That is through the philosophical analytical way. And there are certain kinds of people who are just not suitable for that. So some people just not be philosophical enough to understand this kind of thing at all. So, but Krishna is saying this kind of analytical, intellectual approach to spirituality, for that approach, certain varanas, certain categories of people are not qualified. But they are qualified for bhakti. So the thrust is, again that bhakti is possible for everyone. And that's the second point. So it is describing a particular fact of life. Some people may be more money-minded, some categories of people may be more emotional, which is just what they need for their particular contribution to society. It's not a disadvantage, or it's not a bad thing. It's what is needed for their particular contribution to society. Now, Vaishyas have to be money-minded. Now, some people have to be good at analyzing money, investing, planning. Brahmanas can't do that. So that is their strength also. It can be a limitation, but so that psychophysical nature and its limitation is a limitation on the path of intellectual spirituality. But it is not a limitation on devotional spirituality. So in that sense, it's not at all a accusation or a condemnation. And the last point we will have to see is that the Bhagavad Gita begins by saying that we are not the body, we are the soul. So that means our bodily designation is just a temporary situation. And there is a dynamic, you could say tension or balance, between how we act spiritually and how we act physically. So from the spiritual perspective, that is our defining identity. And everybody is meant to grow spiritually. So how different people grow spiritually, that will vary. Now, there are exceptions also in the broad Vedic fold. There are examples of great sages who were females. And in the, I think, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is Gargi. She is a, we know Gargarushi, but Gargi is a great female sage. And there's a debate that happens in Mithila, and actually she defeats everyone over there. So there are examples of learned sages also. And who are females. There may not be many, but there are there. So no social categorization is watertight. The Bhagavatam also says that ultimately, lakshani prokta. It is by characteristic that we are to be known. So if there are some women who may be very philosophical, there may be some women who may be very analytical. So then if they are there, then this is not meant to deprive them. So I would say if you broadly understand the context, then those statements will not be seen as so jarring. It is only when we see the statement in isolation from the overall purpose of what is being spoken, then it becomes very jarring. Mm-hmm.